Sometimes an event will happen that is unfortunate in every way. Because of that event, feelings are hurt, confidences are broken, foolish requests are made, special favors are asked because of family connections. An event just like this happened on the eve of Palm Sunday, and Matthew records it for us. Listen to this text. It's in Matthew, the 20th chapter, starting with 17th verse. He records this event. Verse 20. Jesus is on his way toward Jerusalem. Palm Sunday will occur right after this. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Command that these two sons of mine may sit one at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom." See, everyone is feeling this buildup of the affection of the crowd toward Jesus, which will be shown up on Palm Sunday when great crowds are going to welcome him. They're already beginning to feel it. There's a buildup. And so she's sensing that. And so she says, "When you come into your kingdom, I want my sons, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, one on your right and one on your left." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? And they said, "We're able." And then he said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, that would be the other disciples, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's quite a scene. That woman, the mother of James and John, is named in the New Testament Salome. She is the mother of James and John. She is the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. That means she's Jesus' aunt. She has a special relationship. She's been following along, and we notice that she'll be there at the cross. She's there following along the whole ministry of Christ. Her two sons are his disciples. They're his youngest disciples. John is probably the youngest of all the disciples. He may only be 16 or 17 years old. That's why in all of the pictures of the Last Supper, there are two of the disciples that haven't shaved yet. They don't have beards. James and John. They're the young ones. And they have a very ambitious mother. And she causes them a lot of trouble. Notice the other 10 were indignant when they heard this. Imagine what she's done. Imagine the hurt feelings. Imagine the confidences that have been broken now. The foolish requests that she's making. And using special favors, asking for special favors because she's a relative. And the disciples are upset. In fact, Luke's gospel, when he tells about going to the upper room, it says they were all arguing over greatness. Well, now we know why they were arguing over greatness. In fact, I have a humorous aside that has occurred to me, and maybe I don't know if it's ever occurred to you. But did you notice that in every scene of our Lord at the Last Supper, John is next to Jesus in the Lord's Supper? Some people have wondered it's because he's the beloved disciple and favored by Jesus. But if you want to be maybe more accurate, he's sitting by Jesus because nobody else will sit by him. Nobody wants to be by John in the Last Supper. His mother, Salome, has done this unforgivable thing. She's tried to get special favors. If anyone is going to sit at the right hand of Christ in his kingdom, it'll be Peter. He is the leader of the apostolic band. And so this mother is trying to angle Peter out and make sure that John and James are in a favored place. And that's the scene. And you know, our Lord does a beautiful thing with that scene. He doesn't really scold his aunt. He doesn't really scold these two boys. He says, "Are you able?" And they say, "Yeah, we're able." He says, "Well, you will drink of a cup. But to sit on my right and my left, that's in my Father's hands." And then he makes use of that moment to do this amazing teaching. He takes that bad moment and a greater teaching moment follows. We learn from Jesus about our own discipleship. We learn what it means to be a servant and not a lord. We are not meant to lord it over others. We're meant to serve others. And we discover that from this great moment. If Salome had not made that impetuous and really arrogant request, then we may not have had this great moment. And then the greatest of all moments when our Lord uses that as a basis, as a setting, to say, even the Son of Man, and that's the way he always refers to himself, "I came not to be served, but I came to serve and to lay my life down a ransom for many." They don't know what that means yet, because they're still smelling victory, and they're going to see a great crowd that's going to show tremendous affection when he comes into the city. I like this text because in a way it's similar to another text. Did you know that two times in the Gospels we're told that our Lord wept over the city of Jerusalem? And he said over the city of Jerusalem, that's our other text, Matthew 23, which is also told for us in Luke's Gospel. This identical text is in Luke's Gospel as well. In Matthew 23, we have this great text. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets," and in Luke he says he wept when he sang this, "stoning those who are sent to you, how often I would have gathered you and your children together like a hen gathers her brood under her wings, you would not." This amazing song. By the way, this song that was sung by our choir, written by Michael Denham, this beautiful song of the lament of Christ over the city of Jerusalem. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, I, like a hen gathers her chicks, would have gathered you and surrounded you. You would not, but that's why I came." You know, our Lord in that text takes what we have just witnessed in a negative way of the mother hen Salome trying to gather her chicks and make sure they were in a favorite place. You know, you can't really falter too much. Every mother wants the best for her sons. And after all, her sons are the youngest. And she wants to make sure they're well taken care of. She's like a mother hen trying to protect her chicks. And it's interesting that our Lord would use that very imagery, because she used it incorrectly, wrongly. He uses it rightly. You've just watched a mother hen trying to get her chicks in a favorite place. I'm like a mother hen. They would have gathered you and put you in a favorite place too. That's the great irony of those two texts so close to each other, isn't it? You know, the ashes that we're to have an imposition of ashes, for those that you would like to have ashes on your forehead, on this Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is a day of repentance, the beginning of Lent, in which we repent, in which we sing a lament about our own sins, about our own bad motives, about our own selfishness, about our own desires to put those maybe that we know the best ahead of somebody else, or even to put ourselves ahead of somebody else. And Ash Wednesday is a moment in the life of the Christian year when we repent. We have to repent every day. Every day we have to begin at the beginning and ask for the forgiveness of our sins. But in a very special way we do on this day. And ashes represent the fact that from dust to dust, they represent our humanity, they represent our sinfulness, our brokenness, and they remind us that apart from the salvation and the love that we have in Jesus Christ, there would be no hope, but there is hope. There is hope for Siloam. There is hope for these two boys. Thank God there is hope for these two boys who right now are not in very strong position with the other 10 disciples. But those two boys are going to also be in the Lord's Supper in just a few days. And Jesus Christ will, he will be the one who is going to be the ransom for their sins, the sins of their mother, and he's the one who's going to heal all of that. Because he's going to give his life as a ransom for many, so that we don't have to lord it over anyone. We can receive that grace ourselves. And so with these ashes, they symbolize the fact that we recognize our humanity. We recognize our brokenness. And then in the receiving of the Lord's Supper today, we receive his gift, his love for us. Thank God for this moment. Thank God for this amazing lament that was sung to us by the choir with those wonderful final words, that Jerusalem song sung for us that we receive. I love the final stanza that Michael put into that song. I come to you, O Jerusalem, if you would hear my cry. But then notice in the final stanza, O come to me now, my Jerusalem. Lay bare your heart to me today. O come to me now, my Jerusalem. Come now to me. Turn not away, O my Jerusalem. Those boys are loved by Jesus Christ, just like all the other disciples, like their mother. And they need to know that in their brokenness, and in her brokenness, there is forgiveness and healing. And that's the great promise that we get to celebrate now in the Lord's Supper. His life given in our behalf, that we may have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for that life given for us. We even thank you, Lord, for this event. It was a bad event. It was something that this mother of two boys should not have done. And she would regret it immediately. And yet, out of that event, we learn that our Lord Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve, and to lay his life down as a ransom for many. And now we get the benefit of that ransom. Bless us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.